How's this for a book title? How to Get Approved for the Best Mortgage Without Sticking a Fork in Your Eye. Well, that's a book that we really wanted to talk about because sometimes getting a mortgage is like sticking a fork in your eye. And I've got the person to talk right about it. This is the author of the book, Alicia Stobie, and she's with me right now. Hi, Alicia. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Steve.
So let's just get into the process now of getting a mortgage. Why does it seem so difficult?
Well, the pendulum swung to the opposite direction since the mortgage crisis of 2008, and everybody's being held to the lowest common denominator, unfortunately. That's the bad news, so there's a lot of paperwork. The good news is rates are still low, and you can get approved for a mortgage. My book walks people through what to expect so people aren't shocked, because we can't change, obviously, what the banks and the government is now requiring since all the mortgage regulation. But if people have an understanding of it, it makes the whole process easier, and they also understand why the lenders are asking for what they're asking for and how to give it to them in a timely manner. And it does make the process smoother and easier, and so people can close on time on their new homes.
You know, we talk to mortgage brokers all the time, and one of them said to me the other day, you know, because people complain so bitterly about all the paperwork, and his response was, you know, I don't want to do the paperwork either, you know, don't blame me. So it's like, yeah, you know, he just has to do what he has to do. It's really not his fault. You're a mortgage broker, am I correct?
Correct. I've been in the industry for 13 years.
All right. So you're doing this every single day, and you're seeing all kinds of borrowers and all kinds of properties. And what would be some of the first steps someone should do in order, when they know that they're going to need a mortgage? How can you help? What kind of advice can you give them?
Well, I strongly believe that an educated consumer is always our best client. So when it comes to doing the research, I have three monumental money mistakes to avoid. And the first thing that people don't do is they rush out and they just go shopping. And some realtors will take them out, and I believe that's a grave mistake, because when it comes to tax deductions and income and how it flows through an income tax return, what people think they make may not actually be what they claim they make.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, they may not be on purpose at all, but often people don't always have the same understanding of how the numbers are looked at by underwriters. So I strongly encourage people to actually get approved, not pre-qualified, but rather pre-approved, and have the lender review the documents so they actually are shopping in the correct price range. And they know what they're looking for when it comes to payment, whether that be for a single-family home or a condominium, because those can vary, and there are different loan programs for each of those. I believe also it's very important for the borrower to understand their loan options. So especially right now for first-time home buyers, there are plenty of options. With conventional, there's as little as 3% down. You can go FHA, 3.5%. And even though that seems like a minor thing, only a 0.5% difference in the down payment, those two loan types are very different and have very different fees involved when it comes to upfront funding as well as on a monthly basis. And it's very important for the borrower to understand their options and how their payments can change with that.
So if you go for the house first and you fall in love with something, you may find that you don't qualify for a mortgage for whatever reason. So your advice is best go for the mortgage first. Now, there's a difference between being pre-qualified and approved or pre-approved, right? What is the difference?
Correct. Yes, the difference between pre-qualified is basically you do your loan application either over the phone or online with a lender. They pull your credit. You run through all the questions in the loan application, but you're not really having the lender review your documents, your income tax returns, and your savings and your checking. And so they don't really have a true picture of what your finances really look like.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion there.
Exactly. And so, for instance, I mentioned the income tax return, but let's say, for example, you know, you have, I don't know, $20,000 you think you're going to use in a down payment, and those funds actually aren't accessible, and you don't really know that because you haven't researched, you know, how much you can pull out of your 401k as a first-time
right.
home buyer and how that works. So the lender can review all those with you before you actually go shopping, so you truly know your buying power. And also, it looks a lot stronger to a seller to have a pre-approval instead of a pre-qualification.
Yes.
And in some markets, in fact, some markets are hotter than others across the country. The hotter markets require a pre-approval and will not take a pre-qualification.
Mm-hmm. So how does someone shop properly for a mortgage? There's been some statistics that I've seen that says Most people lose their shopping acuity when it comes to big financial decisions. They'll only find one lender, and if that person's very nice and easy to work with, they'll just stick with that person. What do you recommend there?
Anybody that actually reaches out to us, we have a checklist that we encourage them to shop around and ask questions. Just a few of those would be, what type of references do you have? What type of licenses do you have? And I think references are very important, especially in this day and age. It's very easy to research multiple lenders online through websites such as Trulia or right. Zillow, mm-hmm. Better Business Bureau. And I would look for at least two or three of those sources that say that lender and that particular loan officer, licensed loan officer, is outstanding. It's the largest purchase people typically make in their entire life, and I think it's very important to take it seriously.
What is the differential between lenders themselves? So not talking about the broker, but from one bank to another or one lending organization to another. Are there big differences between pricing, or is it pretty much all commoditized?
That's an excellent question. There are actually, a lot of it is commoditized, but there are very subtle nuances between lenders. So for example, the FHA program has certain standards, but every lender, since they're actually lending their money from their bank, has their own overlays, is what they're called in the industry. So FHA actually may not have a credit score minimum, but most lenders will put either a 580 minimum or a 620 minimum. So if you went to one bank and their minimum credit score was 620, but the bank down the road actually is 580, well, then the 620 bank minimum would turn you down, but the bank that has the 580, and hypothetically, if your score was 600,
yeah,
the one with 580 would be able to help you. And if you don't go to that other bank, you'll never know. So another question I encourage people to ask is, what's your closing ratio? Of your number of loans that you originate, how many do you actually close? And unfortunately, the national statistic is less than 50% across
wow.
the country.
Yeah.
So it's disturbing, because if you look at that statistic and think, if people are already in a contract, they have their earnest money deposit in jeopardy of being lost, or worse yet, they could have lost that and think they're moving in and they could be moving out of their rental or have sold their other home and not have anywhere to go. So it's very important to look at all the different nuances that each bank offers. And that can vary by region. That can vary by, you know, from big bank to big bank even. Some of them have a, you know, riskier appetite
yeah.
for loans, you know, and some don't.
You know, many years ago, I worked for a division of Chase Manhattan, their investment division, and we worked with their high net worth or their jumbo loan division. And I noticed that from time to time, the bank basically stated that they had enough loans, you know, they wanted to stop doing loans, but they couldn't stop. So what they would do is they would jack the rates up, and that would slow down, you know, they would become uncompetitive, so to speak, for a period of time. So is there a differential in rates between these, let's say, large institutions, or are they just kind of close enough? Where's the skinny there? Is it in the points? Is it in the rate? What should we look for?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. Banks still do that. When they're busy, the way they do slow down their incoming pipeline is they will raise their rate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to shop. And the interesting thing is the consumer really has to shop with their credit score and their true credentials. So they truly should be at least pre-qualified, if not pre-approved. And to get the best rates, they need to shop on the same day. Because when I first got in this industry, if rates changed by an eighth or a quarter over 6 weeks, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
But now with everything being so
right.
hyper-reactive because mm-hmm. of the electronic age and all our access to instant information, rates can change anywhere from an eighth to a quarter depending on the volatility of the market.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis. That's not customary, but sometimes we have more market volatility in the stock market, it affects the bond market, and then that's affecting interest rates the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I follow the 10-year Treasury bond all the time, and I mean, the amount of volatility is really tremendous. And that takes a while to feed through to the actual mortgage rate, but it does have an effect, right?
Yeah, it actually can come through pretty quickly.
Yeah.
If there's a significant change in either mortgage-backed security sales or the 10-year bond, mm-hmm. which oddly the 10-year bond is what affects the 30-year fix,
mm-hmm.
those two together drive interest rates for the 30s. I mean, if there's a significant change in the 10-year, we'll see that correct in 2 hours, depending on the spread that happens. It doesn't even have to wait to the next day anymore. So that's why I was saying, I mean, if you're shopping for rate, you really want to shop on the same day. And you want to stop and ask your lender questions like, what's the trend? are we heading down? Do you feel like it's, and you know, no one can really predict that, obviously. You need to be a fortune teller.
They can see trends, right?
Yes, yes. And they can say it's been going down 6 days in a row, you know, don't press your luck or, you know, I'm super conservative. Whatever the client wants to do is what we do. It's their choice, you know, when to lock.
What about adjustable rates versus fixed rates? Rates are at historic lows. Everybody's been talking about rising interest rates. But I mean, when you look out there, do you recommend, you know, a 30-year fixed or a variable that maybe resets in 5 or 7 years?
I really think it depends on the needs of the borrowers individually. If that borrower, you know, knows that they're going to be there for 3 years or less or 5 years or less, then an ARM might suit them. If they feel like they're, you know, in it for the long haul and going to keep that property for at least 5 to 7 years, then a 30 may be more appropriate for their situation. Or if they feel like maybe they want to start an investment portfolio, then the 30 may also be a good recommendation.
Okay.
It's, I just think it really varies by borrower. And also the borrower's appetite for risk. If somebody, you know, that makes them uncomfortable, then certainly an ARM's not the right product for them.
Exactly. The book is How to Get Approved for the Best Mortgage Without Sticking a Fork in Your Eye. My guest is Alicia Stobie, the author of that book and a mortgage broker herself. Unfortunately, Alicia, we are out of time, but thank you so much for the information. What website can people get to you at?
The book's for sale on Amazon. So if they look up Alicia Stobie Books, E-L-Y-S-I-A, Stobie, S-T-O-B-B-E, books, plural.com, that'll give us the links right to the site. Or if they go to Alicia Stobie homeloans.com. That's our blog, and they can also find me on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook as well.
Well, thank you for joining our conversation.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Steve.